and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on Zack Snyder movies. I am Noah, and I am not here with Kayla today. I am instead joined by Zach Smith-Michaels, who has been on two episodes of the podcast so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, Apocalypse Now, you were on.
Uh-huh. And Halloween Town.
Halloween Town, the two... The two greatest movies of all time.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, anything dark and depressing or Halloween-y, I guess that's I know my place here on your show, so thank you.
Where is the Redux cut of Halloween Town is what I want to know.
When is Snyder going to get his hands on that one?
Oh, there's a lot of footage in the vault.
Yep, he could just turn off all the lights and shoot the same movie with more talking.
So if they haven't listened to those episodes of the podcast, do you want to like quick just talk about what podcast you do?
Yeah. So I am part of a podcasting platform called The Real Boys. That's the R-E-E-L Boys. And we have a podcast called Is It Really? Where we challenge popular opinions about movies. We'll be doing our own, episode on Zack Snyder's Justice League. So if you like this, then that might be out by then.
Yeah, we'll put that in the description if you want to listen to... I mean, who doesn't want to listen to more thoughts about Zack Snyder's Justice League?
I'll tell you what. Those videos are doing well on YouTube for all the reviewers.
They are.
And then we do a podcast that's Disney-based called Fantasmic, which is a Disney debate show. And then the show that I host is called Godfellas, which is about Christian media and looking at it critically. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about gods in this movie, and
there is like a lot of biblical references. I mean, they take every opportunity they can to like have Superman spread out his arms in a T pose. Like,
oh,
guys, do you realize that this is Jesus?
Right.
So if you haven't already guessed, we will be talking today about Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yes.
Very excited for this episode. Lots to talk about. When I was prepping this episode, though, I realized you couldn't really talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League without talking about the whole history of the DCEU, especially the 2017 Justice League. So the format of the show will be, we'll talk a bit about the history, talk about the original Justice League from 2017, the theatrical release.
Your favorite film.
My favorite film of all time. And then we'll be talking about Zack Snyder's version, kind of maybe comparing them a little bit, you know, who knows what shenanigans we'll get into.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see.
There's a lot of content to pull from. All right, so let's just jump into it with the history of the DCEU. So before I do this, what is your relationship to both the DC universe, but also specifically these set of films?
So it's interesting. I loved the Dark Knight trilogy when that came out. So when they announced Man of Steel, I was just like, okay, awesome. And then when they said Zack Snyder was directing it, I remember thinking, interesting, because he doesn't... Like, Superman kind of represents, like, I think, you know, kind of a happier, more whimsical type of superhero. Like, the cool thing about Superman is that he's a guy who works in the city and has a job and who was raised well and who does the right thing because it's right. Like, you know, which is, I guess, a little boring these days. But still, I was like, this is more like you get a fun director to come in and make a fun movie that's, you know, maybe a little less brooding. So when they said Snyder, I was just like... Okay, because I think Zack Snyder is kind of like the bro-y version of Christopher Nolan a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. But I saw, it's funny, with all the DCEU films, I saw them and I was like, yeah, okay. And then I watched them again and they've all just fallen completely off the map for me. I think with the exception of some of the later ones. But yeah, I remember Man of Steel. I saw it and I was like, yeah, that was pretty good. And then I watched it at home and I was like, ooh, this was bad. And then I remember seeing Batman v Superman in the theaters on Good Friday, by the way.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, what? This really, honestly, if you've seen the movie, it really makes sense. So.
It was opening night. And well, I remember going in, the consensus from everyone going in was that the movie was not going to be good. We all knew it wasn't going to be good.
Wow.
And I watched it and kind of had the sense of, at least it's trying to be like a big epic film. It's it's not doing it, but at least it's trying really hard. And you know, it was. I guess it's not awful. I quite enjoy Affleck as Batman. I really like Jeremy Irons. But aside from that, there's just not much to it.
Yeah, it's very stop and start. There's not really. I mean, the MCU has its issues, but I think one of the biggest things with the MCU is that it's very consistent.
Yeah.
Even like the worst movies, like I feel like I have enjoyed in at some level.
Definitely.
Besides like Incredible Hulk, which do we even count that anymore? I mean,
I don't.
It's like it's like it tech. It's like you kind of do, but also it's def. It's so much different. Yeah.
It's in all those lists when there's like marathons, and I'm always like, yeah, skip this one.
Yeah, I'll skip that one. I do really love the Dark Knight films.
Yeah.
I don't even like past the point of thinking they're great movies. Like, I really actually only think the second one is truly great. I think the other ones are pretty good, but they were really instrumental in getting me into movies.
Oh, cool.
So, like, they were like just like important movies to me. And then these ones, I did see Man of Steel a lot just because I think it was one of those movies where. I mean, I was like 13 when it came out, so it's one of those where it's like, this is cool because it's punching and color. I don't know. It seemed serious, I guess. I don't really think I ever truly enjoyed it, though. I remember they were really hyping up the fact that Christopher Nolan produced it almost like he directed this, where he definitely did not. They were really leaning on the Nolan
in the
marketing. Yeah, but let's get into the history here, which is really interesting.
Right.
You'll see in this, it's like just as chaotic as it has seemed. So they were trying to get these movies like into a universe as far back as 2002.
Wow.
They were writing scripts for Batman versus Superman movie then, and J.J. Abrams even wrote a Superman movie
that did not get
made, obviously. There was a movie that almost got started in 2007. It was called Justice League Mortal.
Yeah.
And it was going to be directed by George Miller, which is a choice. There was going to be Armie Hammer as Batman, so that's aged in a way.
Oh, yikes.
DJ Catrona as Superman, Adam Brody as The Flash, Santiago Cabrera as Aquaman, Common as Green Lantern.
Oh,
Common.
No.
And Megan Gale as Wonder Woman. It did get, it did fizzle out though. There was a poor management. The 2007-2008 writer's strike was big.
Mm-hmm.
And then the success of The Dark Knight, they kind of were just like, I guess we'll just do a Chris Nolan can do a movie again. Sorry, George.
Yeah. It's weird because that's George Miller, but like post like Happy Feet, not post like Fury Road. Because I remember there was talk about him doing like The Man of Steel 2. And but that was after they saw Mad Max Fury Road, which again, I don't get who sees like post-apocalyptic movie Superman.
Yeah, there's like no like direct vision. It's kind of like they see these big directors and they're like, wow, this guy was a cool director. We'll have him on.
Unfortunately,
they don't really think about like the style, how it's going to translate to the film.
Yeah, it's sad.
Which is, I think that happened with Zack Snyder a little bit, which isn't really his fault. It's more like them just giving him the reins and then them being like, wait a second. We didn't think that this is what it was going to be like, where it's
right.
Like, well, what did you think? But they had been starting to try to restart the Superman franchise after the lackluster performance of Superman Returns in 2006. And then during story discussions for The Dark Knight Rises, David S. Goyer came up with the idea for a Superman story set in modern day. Christopher Nolan did like it, and like they pitched it to DC, and DC got them to write the script. They intentionally filled it. This was Man of Steel, by the way, if you haven't picked up on that. They intentionally filled it with a lot of references to other characters and stories in case it became popular.
Wow.
And they could like start the extended universe. So that's, I have thoughts about that. But
yeah.
Zack Snyder, they hired to direct. And he did find success, not maybe amazingly critically, but definitely commercially, in 2009 when he did Watchmen, which was also a DC property.
Did he really?
I mean, I think it made definitely more money than Batman versus Superman. Or
yeah, that's so interesting to me, because I think cards on the table. I know a lot of people like Watchmen. I think that movie is super boring.
It is very boring. I watched it for this podcast. Just you know, got to get in the mood of the Snyder experience.
Yeah, that's what the Snyder experience. It's funny because looking at his filmography, his first movie is 300, which is like a bro-y masterpiece. It's like, you know, shirtless dudes yelling and we're going to war. And then you've got Watchmen, which is like a faux introspective. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Woof. You got Guardians of the Gahool with the owls.
I've never seen that.
I saw it in the theater, I think, when I was a kid. It was not, I don't remember anything about it. He did also have the Dawn of the Dead remake. I think that was like his first thing, which I think most people say that's his best movie. And it kind of has gone downhill from there.
Yeah.
So
the only thing I remember about Guardians of Gahool is there was this Twitter called Amazon Reviews, and someone reviewed Guardians of the Galaxy and gave it like 1 star, and they wrote, "Where were all the owls?" and that like lives rent free in my head. So
funny.
Thank you, Zack Snyder. Thank you.
Zack Snyder coming in with the great reviews. They must have been happy with Man of Steel though, because they announced that Snyder would be returning for a sequel even before it was released, like a week or two before. And Goyer was going to write both that and a new Justice League movie. 2014, so a year after Man of Steel, they announced the sequel would be Batman versus Superman. And then they announced 10 films that were going to be coming up. So we had Batman versus Superman, which came out.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, which came out.
Yeah, that happened.
Also a very interesting product. We could make a whole episode on the production of that movie as well,
honestly.
Wonder Woman, then they had Justice League Part One, as it was called then. It was going to be the first part.
Yeah,
The Flash was going to come out in 2018.
Oh boy.
Which hasn't happened yet. Aquaman, which did come out in 2018, so Shazam. Justice League Part Two was going to be 2019, if you can imagine that. Cyborg last year, and then Green Lantern last year was the original projection at 2014. So obviously not everything panned out. What's interesting is that they had a lot of these casting decisions in 2014 though. So they had Ezra Miller already, they had Ray Fisher, Jason Momoa, and Gal Gadot. So they had all like the main cast in 2014.
Right, that's crazy to me. And it's crazy like just listening through that list and like, oh yeah, Wonder Woman, that one was pretty good. And then you hear about all the other ones. And yeah, there is a sense where it would have been nice to have seen all of these characters in their own movie before Justice League came out. Because I think that was one of the biggest weaknesses, you know, the first time that I saw the original Justice League. I was like, you're trying to introduce like three of your main characters in your ensemble film. And I mean, it can be done. I mean, you know, if you watch the Ocean's 11 movies, they have like 11 characters. They have 11 characters that you have to get through, and you kind of like get all of them. But these are kind of like these big, larger than life superheroes, and they're trying to like, you know, kind of run and gun a little bit. And it just really, it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, even in Batman versus Superman, they kind of tried to do the thing where they like introduce them all with like a computer file.
Yeah.
Or something, which was so lazy. I actually don't hate that movie. I think the extended cut is actually not bad. Like, it's like decent. Mm-hmm. Not amazing, but it's definitely better than some of the other DC movies.
Definitely.
I read that they intended Batman vs. Superman to be the second in the series of 5 films. So I don't know what was going to be after the part 2 of Justice League. I guess they had like a... This is what Zack Snyder wanted. And then Batman vs. Superman would be the darkest of the 5 films. And then they would all get gradually lighter in tone as they went on. That was like his vision.
How nice.
Yeah. Sorry, bud. Didn't work out. The Batman vs. Superman did set up, like I said, a lot, though. It set up all the Justice League characters, like, because this was only the second film in the DC universe. So it had a lot to do.
Yeah.
It was not received well by critics, which we kind of know now. The dark tone and messy narrative, I think, were the two biggest things. Because I think especially, it was so obvious in the theatrical version of this movie that it was cut a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, scenes missing, it felt like, I remember. I haven't seen the theatrical in so long, but it was a mess.
Yeah, my big takeaway, I think the thing that made me the most angry, and I'm not even, like, a big Superman fan, and I'm also not a big, like, comic purist, but Jesse Eisenberg was so bad. And I like Jesse Eisenberg. Like, I think he's been in good, like, Social Network, one of my favorite movies. Yeah. Woof. Like, you know, he's really, really bad in the movie. And he's in a totally different movie than everybody else. So that it's interesting because the movie has so much exposition. And the loyalty that the people who like Batman v Superman, their loyalty is insane. Like, I remember I was reviewing movies on a blog back when that came out, and I think I gave the movie like a D or something, and people were livid.
Yeah, I think now Batman vs Superman is definitely a cult film, I would say. It definitely falls under that category. Like, there's like a whole theme section in the Wikipedia page on it that's like multiple paragraphs long about the themes of Batman versus Superman. So, it's got its fans.
Yeah.
But after this movie, DC created an entirely like separate DC Films division to focus on the DCEU. So they were like, okay, we need to kind of make sure we're on track here with these movies. And Zack Snyder obviously was on thin ice after that, but he still went on to work on Justice League right after Batman versus Superman. So they were still kind of on track with that.
Yeah, I remember Brandon, who's on Is It Really? He and I, we were talking after that came back, and Brandon said, I don't understand it, because it seems like they're trying to give him his third strike. Like, okay, you have Man of Steel, which did okay. You have this movie. This is your last chance. And he's like,
yeah, this is your last chance, bud.
Yeah, or like we were baffled with, why do you keep hiring Zack Snyder over and over and over again?
Definitely, and we'll get into this now with the Justice League stuff, the production, but they don't really understand, like, you can't change the director's style. Like, you have to just hire the director that that has the style you want.
Yeah.
You can't be like, it's Zack Snyder, but it's not going to be like a Zack Snyder movie. Like, right. If you don't want a Zack Snyder movie, just don't hire him.
Yeah, well, it's like when they had Lord and Miller on Solo, and then they got fired, and people were just like, they're being too goofy and silly. It's like, have you seen any of their films?
Yeah, they literally made Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah,
so I'm sorry, guys. I don't know where they look at the wrong filmography. So writer Chris Terrio, he also helped write Batman vs. Superman, like rewrite it.
Yeah.
So Zack Snyder and him, they rewrote the Goyer's like original Justice League script. This is still called Part One at the time. And apparently the original draft was like a lot darker than the final shooting script. Like, their first draft was really dark, which is interesting because I thought Batman versus Superman was supposed to be the darkest in their mind. But DC had them make revisions to the script after the negative reaction to Batman versus Superman. So they even were kind of like, they even had a hand in it before they started filming, which I don't think a lot of people realize. Like, the Zack Snyder movie, it's still had DC's notes in it before Joss Whedon came along. So it's like, it's all throughout the production.
Right.
And then principal photography began April 11th, 2016, less than a month after the release of Batman vs. Superman. So they're just kind of moving along with the movies.
Just keep going, Zach. Just keep
just
doing what you're
doing. Just give these guys... I feel bad in a way. It's like, can't these guys just have like a month off, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's also when like the Sad Fleck memes were coming out too. Yeah.
So production... DC insisted that the Justice League film would be much more straightforward and hopeful than the previous films in the series. So they were like, guys, don't worry. It'll be better than Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, obviously, now we know there are multiple issues. While it was shooting, DC wasn't really happy with the direction of the film, and they were kind of like on set every day, like the heads of the studio making adjustments to stuff, which, again, if you just hire who you want to hire rather than micromanaging. Zack Snyder does maintain that this wasn't really that much of a deal on set when he was filming. He's also he's like really nice in all of these interviews.
Yeah,
like he seems like a great guy. Honestly, like Vanity Fair, New York Times interviews he did were really, really great interviews. I would highly recommend reading those articles.
Yeah.
They did nix some potential plot lines. One was that Lois Lane was going to be in a relationship with Batman. And that Batman would have to end that relationship because they were going to resurrect Superman. So it's like, I have to give up this because Superman needs to come and save the day. Which would have been kind of like...
That's so much more interesting than like almost anything in that movie, Snyder Cut included. So,
yeah. It's like it actually gives some motivation and drive to the story.
Yeah.
But they took that out.
They just gotta find something for Amy Adams to do in these movies, honestly.
Yeah, her role gets more and more confusing to me with each film. Like Man of Steel, it's like, okay, she's kind of like I understand. Batman versus Superman, it's like she some scenes, it's like, why is she here?
Yeah.
And then Justice League, she just seems like she would rather be anywhere else. And I would be like that too. I'd be like, why? I don't want to be here.
I get it.
Not fun.
Mm-hmm. I get to drink a latte in this scene. Okay, fine. I'll stay.
Multiple lattes. I will say the latte game is high.
Absolutely.
The copaganda, bringing all the lattes to the cop every morning. there was pressure to keep the movie to 2 hours, which obviously, like, the story that they had to tell is so much, requires so much more than 2 hours, because they, like you said, they have to introduce all the characters. This whole mother box situation, like, there's so much in this movie, it's like, I don't understand. They're like, 2 hours, you get 2 hours, buddy.
Yeah.
So, production wrap, DC was still unhappy. They considered cuts of the film unwatchable, is their wording.
Ooh.
So because of this, they brought on Joss Whedon to do like some rewrites with Zack Snyder, like to kind of make the tone even lighter than it already was, which again, it was still like lighter than intended because they made him rewrite it before they shot stuff.
Again, that just makes no sense to me, though. That's like if you had, I'm trying to think of, it's like if you had a David Lynch film and you were just like, it's a little dark, we're going to bring in Wes Anderson to do a rewrite with you, buddy. Like
that would be such a bad movie.
Yeah, it's like, and I like both those people, but it doesn't match totally.
The styles don't match at all. Like, yeah, it's not good. Zack Snyder has said, like, when Whedon was hired, again, so nice in these interviews.
Yeah.
He said he thought that he could write, like, some cool scenes, that it would be kind of a fun collaboration. Then, unfortunately, in March of 2017, Zack Snyder's daughter, Autumn, tragically took her own life.
Mm.
So he did try to continue work on Justice League, but obviously, like, it's even more intensive than some film productions because it's Justice League and there's, like, so much, it just takes up your whole life when you're working on those movies. So in May of that year, Zack and his wife, Deborah, who produces all his movies, they left the project. At that time, the film was, like, basically finished. That's what he has said. And that the inclination was that Joss Whedon would just, like, bring the film to the finish line. You know, that's what kind of the wording they used. At the time, a Warner executive said, the directing is minimal and it has to adhere to the style and tone that the template that Zack set. This is talking about the reshoots, obviously. Right. We're not introducing any new characters. It's the same characters in some new scenes. He's handing the baton to Josh. Is it Joss? I know it's Joss. It's
Josh Whedon is the kid from God's Not Dead. Joss Whedon is...
Oh, two impeccable human beings. Yeah, so that's what they said, but that's not really what happened. I really am not a Joss Whedon fan at all. 0%. So I do think that this was not all him. It's more like it, because DC was always trying to do this throughout the production. And when you have someone that comes in halfway through production and it's like, he doesn't have a stake in this, he just wants the paycheck. And they're like, just rewrite the scenes like this, do this. He's like, okay, fine, I'll do whatever you want, you know?
It is that you did Avengers and that turned out pretty well. Just do that again.
Just do it again, bud. He's like, okay. Yeah,
fine.
He wrote 80 to 90 pages of material, which when you assume that that's a page a minute, which is usually the standard, that equates to 3/4 of the runtime. Cinematographer that worked, Fabian Wagner, he worked with Zack Snyder. He estimates that only 10% of the original footage was used.
In the Justice League?
In the Justice League, yes. Only 10% of the original footage. Which, now seeing the Snyder Cut, I would think that's probably closer to like 30%.
Yeah.
10% seems a little low, but still not, I still don't think it would be half. I think it'd probably be like 30, 40.
Right.
The reshoots were filmed digitally and the original was filmed in 35 millimeter. So that was also, an aspect.
Yeah.
Since it is important to note that Josh Whedon's attitude on set has been called into question by both Gal Gadot and Ray Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Fisher called his actions on set gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable. And they say he was enabled by like the heads of DC Films, like that were kind of on set. So some really unfortunate all around. This is honestly my biggest pet peeves with the Justice League movie, the 2017, is that they had Junkie XL as the composer, who had he had most of the film already composed. Mm-hmm. Then when Joss Whedon came on, they fired him, hired Danny Elfman to compose a whole new soundtrack. And this was like midway through post-production. So they just which anyone that knows about music knows that the score completely changes the tone of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Danny Elfman is obviously very whimsical, like not Zack Snyder, basically.
No. And he used the original Batman theme in the movie, which,
oh my gosh.
You know, I'm not going to lie. The first time I heard that in the theater, I was like, ooh, and then I was immediately bummed out after I thought about it.
I really hate when people bring like musical motifs into other things, because it's this is supposed to, it's just, it's so annoying. But one of the greatest things of all time is that this movie did badly.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
It was just so bad. 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. It did, like, if you look at the, actual just budget, you would think, like, oh, it made some money back. But actually, when you add in everything, like, press tours, like, everything, they actually lost around $60 million, which is really bad for a Justice League movie.
Like, I mean, and here's the, I don't know about you, but I grew up watching the Justice League show on Cartoon Network, and like all of my friends did. So we loved like the animated Justice League show, and it was like all the talk, and even like Teen Titans and all of that stuff. So like the minute that in The Dark Knight Rises, they said to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, when they're like, you should use your real name, Robin. Like from then on, there was kind of all this big like, oh man, are they going to do Justice League? So it's kind of like, I felt like I've been not waiting with like bated breath, but always been like, oh man, if they ever do a Justice League movie, you know, for the movie to do so badly. And it's interesting because I didn't grow up like caring about the Avengers. And when you look at those first few Avengers movies, like Thor and Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yeah.
And I don't even love the first Iron Man. When you look at those movies and you think about how the Avengers was this huge cultural phenomenon and Justice League, which I think definitely way more people knew about prior to these films happening, for it to like fail that badly is really like, how did you mess up this badly, DC?
2021, February, I wanted to mention this, that a studio executive did say this about the theatrical cut. Quote, when we got to see what Joss actually did, it was stupefying. The robber on the rooftop, so goofy and awful. The Russian family, so useless and pointless. Everyone knew it. It was so awkward because no one wanted to admit what a piece of shit it was.
Oh my gosh.
That is the quote from the DC executive. So obviously they don't like it either, which I feel like it's like, this is what you did. This is you. You did this, guys.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? But with that, we can talk a little bit about our thoughts on 2017's Justice League, which I feel like should be obvious already. But there's just so much to talk about with this movie.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Now, Noah, my first exposure to this podcast was when you guys launched and you did your 30-day film challenge thing, like different movies. And I remember being actually shocked when I saw that like Justice League was your least favorite movie, because I saw it and I thought like, okay, fine, whatever, you know, it's whatever. And then I watched it again, I was like, oh, this is very boring and bad and a mess. Bad. But I'm curious, what makes it your least favorite movie?
Well, I'm glad you asked. No, so the thing is, it's like, have I seen objectively worse movies than this? Yes, I have.
Right.
But first of all, I do think this movie is obviously very bad. Like, there's nothing about it just on a purely, like, technical level that works. The story is very bland. It's just not a good story. It's not a good movie. But even beyond that, This is like the epitome of what I hate in studio films or like big budget films, is like the corporate control that comes into the movie. And this movie, to me, when I watch it, it's the least human movie I've ever seen. Like, this is like when people say like, oh, this feels like a robot. Like, this is literally feels like 100 people wrote this. And it's like just thrown together by like an algorithm.
Yeah.
And you can see all the jokes, like, especially when you now see the Snyder Cut. And it's like they literally filmed these reshoots to add in this one joke to this one scene to like, all right, this is what we're going to do to just punch up the mood just a little bit.
Right.
The way that it was like just completely thrown together to make as much money as possible. Like what they thought would make as much money as possible, which obviously movies are going to make money or want to make money. But I don't know. This just is like the worst version of a big budget movie to me. And it's like so greedy and awful. It's gross. I hate it.
I agree. And I think, you know, they had one of the biggest missed opportunities of all time when they had to do, you know, the story is infamous now, but they had to do reshoots with Henry Cavill, who was filming the, by the way, fantastic Mission Impossible Fallout. If you haven't seen that movie, like, you need to go check it out. But I love that Paramount, this like little studio that, you know, hadn't been doing well for the past however many years, was able to go like, actually, DC, no, he's keeping the mustache. But I think they had a missed opportunity because they went in and CGI'd the mustache off of Henry Cavill's lip.
It's so bad.
But here's what I was thinking. How cool would it have been to see Superman, the epitome of America, with a mustache? You couldn't CGI a mustache onto him?
That would have been easier, I think. Because, like, you...
And cooler.
You know Justice League is going to be bad from the opening scene when you have this vertical video and the kids are like, Superman, can you answer a question for me?
My podcast and it's like, with my video, yeah.
The left side of his face is, like, glitching the entire time. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Yeah, and I think when I watched this movie, I wasn't going in thinking this is going to... I didn't even see this in the theater.
Oh.
I think... I just threw it on one night because I was like, oh, Justice League is out. I remember hearing about this. Like, I didn't really like, I remember hearing it was bad, but also like Batman vs. Superman was bad. And I was like, that was bad, but it wasn't like unwatchable. You know, there were parts of it that I enjoyed.
There might be some cool stuff. Sure.
It was, I remember thinking it was just shockingly awful. Like each scene progressively got worse.
Yeah.
The scene that kind of like pushed me over the edge was the scene when he steals the first mother box from Themyscira, the Wonder Woman island. It's literally, and this is, it's a little better in the Snyder Cut, but especially in this, because with this, the theatrical version, they like crank up the saturation because I guess they assume that to make a film more fun, it should look more saturated, which we'll get into that later, but it's like the worst looking thing ever. It's like obviously CGI has come a long way in 4 years, but did not look this bad. And I mean, Jurassic Park looks better than
amazing.
This.
Yeah.
It's the CGI is so bad.
Yeah.
The writing is, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Movie.
Here's maybe the best way I can describe Justice League is we do, the Real Boys, we host watch parties. This was the only one that no one showed up for. And the three of us had to watch it, so we were watching it virtually, and we watch bad movies together all the time, and, you know, it's fun, we have a good laugh, and, you know, we enjoy ourselves, and at the end, all of us were so sad.
It's like, it drains you.
Yeah.
This movie, it's like a workout to watch this movie.
Exactly. Like, I had to go watch some Safdie Brothers films afterwards to lift my spirits, and that's how bad Justice League is.
Yeah.
The Safdies slap, by the way, but yeah, that wasn't a knock
on
them.
They do.
Yeah.
One scene I want to touch on that I think also shows, like, with this movie, you can, like, point out the changes. Like, you can be like, okay, so that was original, that was reshot. The scene with Aquaman, where he first meets Aquaman and they're walking outside, and some of the shots are like, okay, that looks kind of like a nice background. And then some of the shots are clearly green screened, and it's like cutting back and forth between them. And the shots that are green screened are like funny.
Yeah.
And you see in the Snyder Cut where you're like, okay, so this scene pretty much feels the same, but there's like three jokes that aren't in this scene. So obviously they just reshot a couple jokes, like chopped them in there and then called it a day.
Yeah, it's not good. I think my big oh no moment was Barry Allen joking about brunch.
Oh yeah.
I was just like, no, 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 no. We're not doing this. And he was very so Avengers. Exhausting. Yeah, he was so exhausting by the end of that movie. I was like, you're not funny, you're annoying. And in the Snyder Cut, I actually think he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's much better. Much Him better, and but, Cyborg oh are my gosh. Like Night Cyborg in this movie is the most uninteresting character I've seen in like a long time.
Yeah, I remember thinking like, man, this Ray Fisher guy, like, he's really bad. And then you watch the Snyder Cut and you're like, they did you dirty.
They did. He's great in the Snyder. In this one, he's just like so bland, has no build up. They just kind of show him with a hoodie, and that's like all he gets, really. He's like, all right, this is Cyborg. They see his face. You get it. It's Cyborg. He's a robot. Like, what his only backstory is, like, when his dad says the classic line, like, oh, after the accident, and like, you hear the word accident, and I guess it's like, oh, I'm supposed to care now.
Right.
An accident. It's an accident. It's, oh my gosh. It's so frustrating. Uh-huh. Some of the scenes that I really hate, especially now watching the Snyder Cut. So I didn't really realize this is like ones I didn't realize were reshoots, but all like the arguments between Batman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
That they just throw in for no reason, which. Well,
to create conflict between the team, but I mean, when you're coming off of an entire movie being conflict between two superheroes, it's a well we don't want to go back to. Like, we've seen it, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, it had verses in the title, so you
right,
know,
right,
it's
right.
Kind of all we. Yeah, yeah, it just felt so like forced. A lot of this movie feels forced, I think.
And I remember like the audience being oddly sympathetic towards the movie because there was so much knowledge of the behind the scenes where people were like, oh, well, it's okay. And there wasn't like a big sense of people actually just saying like, you know what, like this movie is bad. And I do think that that's why people were more like, instead of complaining about this movie, let's just ask them to release the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, I think, and we'll get into this in a second, but I don't know if it was completely evident when it first came out that Zack Snyder didn't direct this, because it says directed by Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you know the backstory of, like, him working on the movie, you don't want to, like, hit trash on it, because it's like, well, I feel bad for him, because he's going through this tragedy. But once you realize what it's really directed by Joss Whedon, like, if anything, it's a co-director thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has not, Zack Snyder has not watched this movie, and I think that's great. Take care of your mental health. Yeah, I think I read his wife and Christopher Nolan watched this movie together, and when they got out of the theater, they told him that he can never watch it. So
wow,
good for them. Really taking care, really taking care of him. You know,
that's sweet.
I wish someone did that to me before I put on this movie.
I didn't know you back then.
You could never watch this.
Yeah, stay away. Run.
I mean, you've got the scene with the Flash falling on Wonder Woman for like a split second. And it's like, why did this need to be added?
Even the scene where Aquaman sits on the lasso of truth and he's just like, I think we're all going to die. I don't think any of us are going to make it. But we got this super hot chick over here. And I was like, okay, like, can we leave Wonder Woman alone, please?
You know what I think that was really the one of the few reshoots they had to do for like that scene under the tunnels.
Yeah.
And so what I'm thinking is like, did they just have Barry Allen like lay on top of Wonder Woman and then they were like, all right, cut, now we're good, that was the reshoot for the day? It's like, is that what are we, what is this, our this is really what we need in this movie? We don't need like anything else.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yikes.
Do you have any other thoughts before we move on to Zack Snyder's Justice League?
You know, I wish that I had some big, like, passionate rant that I could go on. I don't. This movie makes me sleepy, and I just really do not like it at all.
Yeah, I could not agree more. okay, so we're going to go to an ad break, and then when we come back, we will be talking about the Snyder cut of this movie, which is a very interesting conversation. And we are back to talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League now. Mm-hmm. Before we get into that, we'll talk a little bit about the build-up to the Snyder Cut, kind of, which is what it was originally called, and what I kind of still call it now, because it was like, it's been called that for so long, and it just kind of like is easier to call it that for me. But Justice League obviously did bad. DC wanted, they are already wanting to move in a different direction with their movies, like Wonder Woman released before Justice League.
Yeah.
And that did great.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good movie too.
It is a good movie.
It got me excited for Justice League, honestly. Oh, so I'm like, okay, well let's, it was kind of a sense of, I know I like Affleck as Batman. Cavill, like, he's doing his best.
Hit or miss, you know.
Yeah. But now I was like, okay, so I really like Wonder Woman. So I said, okay, so the central three who I know going in, I already know that I'm kind of into them. Let's see.
Yeah, so I think with Wonder Woman, then that made them really want to still move in that different tonal direction, probably from the start rather than from post-production,
right.
And then work on more solo stories, which is obvious. But before the Snyder Cut, we had Suicide Squad, Aquaman. Suicide Squad obviously was kind of in production before that. That did awful. But then we had Aquaman, Shazam, Birds of Prey, which I would still argue is even closer to a solo film than a, like, there is a team up, but it's definitely focused on Harley Quinn.
Definitely.
And then Wonder Woman too. So they definitely have kind of kept that like lighter tone for sure.
Yeah.
And then focusing more on solo characters since Justice League.
Joker is not, we're not including that in the DCEU, right?
No, that's separate from the DCEU.
Yeah.
It did. I mean, it's obviously still DC and obviously not funny.
Yeah, or good. What? I mean,
oh, yikes. But it is solo film.
Yeah.
And now we're getting Batman with Robert Pattinson, which is great.
I'm so excited for that. But yeah, and coming off that, yeah, I saw Aquaman, didn't like it, and I know that everyone else was really like, it's fun. I was like, it's not, but okay. But Shazam was, I think, the one I was most skeptical of. Like, when they announced it, I was like, no.
Well, it's called Shazam, so it's like, what in the world?
And then when I heard it's like, oh, it's a little kid who says Shazam, and he becomes like an adult with powers, and I was like, no. And then they were just like, you know, and it's going to have this horror movie director, no. And they kept going with things, and then finally I think they said Zachary Levi, and I was like, okay, fine, I'll check it out. And it's like a really fun, sweet, lighthearted movie, and that's one like I've seen a few more times. Like, it's actually one that I'm like, hey, if you have like kids, like, it's a little scary maybe, but it's like, it's a good watch. You should check it out. And I think Shazam really kind of, I don't know how to say this, but it turned me around on DC a little bit, because I'm, you know, again, like, I think the Suicide Squad, James Gunn's Suicide Squad, I'm really excited
for that.
I'm pumped.
I love James Gunn, so
yeah. And also, like we were saying, the Batman with Pattinson, like, that's going to be a day one. I'm really excited for some of the things that they have coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, they have great properties. It's just like they have to use them correctly, I think.
And they're expanding with their directors, which is huge.
Yeah, because I think they're, we'll get, actually, I'm going to say that for the ending. But
okay, yeah.
I agree. I like the way they're moving more now.
Yeah.
But after Justice League, they weren't really, I think it was pretty clear they were not planning on bringing Snyder back for additional films.
Right.
But pretty soon after the release, the rumors of Zack Snyder's version were already kind of circulating a little bit. And less than a month after release, a petition to release his cut already had 130,000 signatures.
Yeah.
So,
and I said it doesn't exist. Like, I was saying on like my social media platforms, like, guys, the Snyder cut doesn't exist. Like, it's not a real thing. Like, just,
well, you were kind of right. I mean,
yeah. I was like,
they
kind of
had to. They
kind of
had to make it.
And I was like, it's not going to happen. They're not going to. I said, and I was proven wrong. Of course, they won't do it.
I mean, there was no precedent for it because it's not like another director's cut. It's like completely different than that. 2017-18, the movement was like not really, like, it was still going, but there weren't really, like, things to feed it. They had to kind of rely on, like, combing through social media accounts, like, right. relying on, like, small comments by, like, quote-unquote insiders. Like, are right. these guys really insiders, or they just right. changed their profile picture? 2018, a senior executive of Warner Brothers said that the studio had no plans to release any alternate cuts of Justice League. One funny example I found was Thanksgiving 2018, Zack Snyder posted a picture of, like, a turkey thermometer at 120 degrees. And people were like, is this him winking at the runtime of 2017 Justice League? I was like, oh my gosh, guys.
Guys, calm down.
Settle down. Settle down. Get a little too serious about this.
He's showing you that his turkey's undercooked, guys. Come on.
2019, it really picked up steam, though. I remember this. That was like when the hashtag release the Snyder Cut like was a bigger thing. Yeah. In March, that's when Snyder finally confirmed that the cut did exist. It was 214 minutes long. At the time, now it's longer. As the year went on, more extreme, San Diego Comic-Con, they raised $26,000 for a banner flight, a billboard, an ad in the Hollywood Reporter, and a ground team at the San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Then in 2019, October, they put up a billboard in Times Square about it.
Yep.
And Zack Snyder did see that. And he commented on it being truly amazing, which it is. Like, getting a billboard in New York Times is huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were definitely serious about this.
Yeah.
One thing I want to mention is, I think this is important to touch on, is that, so the movement did raise over $500,000 for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Nice.
Which is obviously in honor of Zack Snyder's daughter. Yeah. It is important to note, though, that there was, like, a very high element of toxicity in parts of the fandom.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Multiple Twitter harassment campaigns. One of the DC film heads had to leave Twitter because of it. James Gunn said he received death threats after, like, he was hired for Suicide Squad, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I think that is important to mention because, like,
well,
we could get...
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but when Suicide Squad was released, David Ayer, he said, like, at the premiere for the movie, F Marvel. You know what I mean? So it's like you have your directors also like drawing a line in the sand. So by association, I guess like James Gunn coming in to do Suicide Squad after the last director said, you know, F Marvel. And now you have a guy coming in who did maybe two of the best Marvel films out there.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying I understand why people would send death threats, but what you've essentially had is, you know, people drawing lines in the sand, but not just like, this is a cute little thing.
They perpetuate it, you know?
Yeah. Not like, I like Marvel, you like, but like, I'm going to kill you if you don't, like, calm down, people. Like,
yeah, it's unfortunate that they had to get to that place, which obviously is unnecessary.
Take some of this, like, protesting energy and like go vote or something, you know?
yeah. And I think that is what's good about it is like the money they raised, which is huge, like over $1 million. So it's like there are elements that were great, but there were also, like, with anything, like, obviously there's really toxic elements too, especially with fan culture like that. November 2019 was a big turning point. This was huge. There was a 2-year anniversary of Justice League, and then Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, and Gal Gadot all tweeted the hashtag release the Snyder Cut, which is the first time, the first time anyone mentioned it was Jason Momoa in June when he said Zack Snyder showed him the cut and that it was, quote, sick. That's me saying all of the syllables that he wrote.
Fantastic.
After the tweets were posted, like, a DC former head came out and said, like, Zack Snyder should be able to finish it if they had the time, money, if it was possible, which was like the first time anyone was like, you know, maybe it could happen. And then May 2020, after a virtual screening of Man of Steel, Zack Snyder confirmed that the cut of Justice League would be releasing on HBO Max in 2021.
So interesting, yeah.
Which was wild. Like, there was no lead up. It was just like, all of a sudden, like, oh, it's the Snyder Cut. It's coming. We're going to get it.
I backed down immediately. I was just like, okay, I'm like, cool.
Getting it, I guess.
And my thing was like, all right, well, I hope you like it. I hope you watch it. Like, I hope you show up for this. And, you know, I will say, I think the fan base has really shown up for this movie.
Yeah.
It's cool to see. It's cool to see it happen.
Yeah, I think it is really, really incredible. Warner Brothers did want to just release the raw footage originally, which would have been awful.
Yeah.
But they eventually agreed to let it fully be finished, and then they spent ultimately $70 million to get it completed, which in the grand scheme of things for Warner Brothers really isn't that much, but it is like a lot thinking like most people assume this was already done, which obviously like if you know anything about movies, it was not.
It's funny, $70 million, didn't it lose $60 million?
It did lose sixty million the original.
It's crazy. Crazy.
One thing that's interesting is that they brought Junkie XL back to do the score. He actually made a completely different score for this movie because he said the original score like was reminded him of like an upsetting time, and he said that the original score didn't like currently reflect what he was musically capable of, and he wanted to like give the movie the best he had, which is wow.
Yeah.
He made a whole score for this. I mean, he could have literally just had this, like he already did the work. So that's really cool of him. It was released, as we know, March 18th. I think so far, I mean, and also all the proceeds it does like in either upcoming IMAX screenings or maybe I think maybe it's had some overseas. All proceeds are going to suicide prevention, which is really cool. So far, I think it's received like middling review, definitely better reviews than I mean the original Justice League.
Definitely.
And I think most people are saying, even if they don't love it, that it's definitely better than 2017, which doesn't take much, but is at least like at least it's better. You know, it would have sucked if it was worse. Like that would have been awful.
Yeah, it's at 74 on Rotten Tomatoes, like as we speak. So
yeah, which obviously will probably go down to around like 60-ish, but
yeah,
you know, over time,
yeah.
All right, so let's just talk about this one a little bit, which there's a lot to talk about in this movie. We don't have to talk about it all, obviously. There's 4 hours and 2 minutes of content. But
and I won't bury the lead too long.
Yeah, it's a bit long. This is split into 6 parts and an epilogue, which I think the first half is pretty solid. I think parts 4 and 5 are just not good. I think it towards the end it just really drags. And then I think the final fight is pretty good. I like
that
the final
the
fight so
stuff.
Much better than the final fight in the 2017 was so bad. And when you watch this one, it's so much it's like a completely different ending. Like the ending is like completely different than 2017. I think it's probably the most different between the two movies.
Right. Are we talking spoilers?
Yeah, we'll spoil, you know. If you care about the Snyder Cut, you've already seen it. So
yeah, I'll say for me, the moments at the end that I really and I, you know, on Letterboxd, I gave this a pretty not great review, but there were 2 moments that like really hit me in the feels. The one is Barry Allen when he breaks all of his rules.
Yeah.
That was a great scene.
Like the climax, basically. That was basically the climax, I would say.
Yeah. And Cyborg, when he's like in unity with the Mother Box or whatever, and he sees like his family on the other side, and they're like, just let it go. Just like, let it go and come be fixed. He's like, no, I'm not broken. I was like,
oh,
this
man.
Is,
what a line.
Yeah, I'm like, this is good. This
Did Zack Snyder some... write a good line? What?
What is happening? Other than that, though, this movie, unfortunately, there were some cool fight scenes. There were some cool action scenes. Mm-hmm. It was better. Like, that's the thing. It was better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I thought the pacing was too slow. I thought
Way
the soundtrack. I thought the soundtrack was whack. And this movie is like, I would say, 75% exposition, and it's 4 hours long. So
yeah, it's just a lot of explaining things, especially as you get into it.
And the entire epilogue I thought was stupid for the
most part. Yeah, I liked, I actually, with the epilogue, I loved the first half.
Yes.
Up until like the Flash runs and then it cuts to black. Everything after that, so with the Lex Luthor and then with like the Joker was awful. And then with Batman at his house, which obviously was Ben Affleck now, like he looked so much different and he was not into it at all. He was like half asleep when he was doing that scene. It was so bad. One scene I really liked that you didn't, I loved both of the scenes you mentioned. One other part that I loved, which might have been the highlight, was the football scene with Cyborg, which again gave Cyborg some great backstory and looked beautiful. Like it was probably one of the prettier scenes in the movie.
Agreed. Yeah.
Cyborg, I think, was probably the highlight of this movie for me. Like,
yeah,
he was
definitely
really good.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And it's funny, I watched virtually with some friends, and they're like, it shows that in his heart, he's a hero, you know?
Yeah.
But also that he's someone who loves the attention of, like, being a hero.
Yeah.
And, like, the scene where he puts money in the woman's bank account, and then he has people kind of, like, looking at him. Like, we all were saying, like, Snyder doesn't do subtlety very well, but there's just some moments where, you know, he really gets it right. And I think all the stuff with Cyborg really worked. The only thing, just the CGI on
it's
Cyborg.
It's really bad.
Yeah, it's all the CGI so unconvincing. Is bad. Yeah. Well, and I was watching with somebody else, and they hadn't really seen any of the DC films. Mm. And they were like, how much did this cost to make?
It looks bad. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The worst scene in this movie to me, like, there's a lot of bad scenes. It's long. It's 4 hours. It's going to be really bad scenes.
Right.
But the one that carries over from both movies is the one right after Superman gets resurrected. And the fight they have in, like, the middle of the city, which is, like, where are the people? Why does this look so empty? And why does Superman look like Plato? Like, he's just, like, it's so bad. He's just, like, wobbling. It's so stiff.
Yeah.
There's some bad CGI. And I think this fight on Premaskira is better choreographed.
I liked that they gave the characters beats, because in the new one, they're just like, they're just dying, and, you know, there's just kind of like, oh, you dummies, like, what are you doing?
Like, it's like 2 minutes long. It's like, oh, yeah, they got the box.
Whereas this one, each character is like, you see that they're making a sacrifice to, like, keep their world safe, and it, like, actually has some weight to it when these characters are then dying, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the scenes that were confusing in the original are a lot more clear now, like the fight in the sewer. I mean, they just have, like, a lot more structure to them, which obviously makes sense, because in the first one, DC wanted to keep it to that 2 hour mark, where you're gonna have to, like, cut a lot of things out that just kind of need to be there. That's one thing that just really bugs me, and maybe this is just, like, coincidence, but that the fact that the 2017 one is literally 2 hours, 0 minutes, and 0 seconds, like, are you serious?
Like Frankenstein. Guy?
They're so worried about keeping it to 2 hours, like, it's literally 2 hours long. So that's one thing here. Like, the scenes that were confusing in the original are definitely more clear.
I would agree. Yeah, and one of the things that I did like, now that I'm kind of thinking about it a little bit more, I liked that the team, everyone had a part to play. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like with the Avengers movies, there is a sense of, like, all right, we're all going to run around and we're going to punch everybody real good. And this was more like, all right, Barry, here's what you're doing. Cyborg, here's what you're doing. And then, like, everyone, like, I really liked the dynamic of the team in this movie when they came together.
Yeah. I think the character dynamics are good. One thing that is bad in both movies for me is, like, there's a lot of just sitting around, and I really don't understand I don't understand what the time is. Like, how long how long is Steppenwolf getting these mother boxes in a week? Is it a year? How long is Amy Adams getting coffee for months on end, or just been a couple days?
I'll tell you what, I think I, like, audibly cheered when I saw them making those lattes. I was like, oh yeah, this movie just got awesome.
The lattes were good. There were some solid lattes.
They looked
Zack
great.
Zack Snyder had a cameo too in the window.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw that online. Like, it was, like, very short, but, you know, got his little cameo. Nice. Just the pacing, like you said, especially as it goes on, is it's like... Yeah. First of all, they resurrect Superman, and then they're just, like, done. They're, like, assuming maybe he'll come. Like, they're not going to follow up on the Superman thing. They're just like, you know, he probably will get here eventually.
We'll give him some time, you know.
Like, you went through all this work to resurrect Superman, and then they're just like, all right, we're good.
Yeah. What did you think of the soundtrack? I've been really curious to hear your thoughts on this. Not the score, but the soundtrack.
Oh, like the music?
Yeah, choices that they made.
The needle
for
drops.
Some of the scenes.
Zack Snyder's always been bad at needle drops. Like, Watchmen has some of the worst needle drops ever. They play Bob Dylan over the opening. It ends with a Bob Dylan, My Chemical Romance cover of a Bob Dylan song in the credits. Uh-huh.
That I like that song, actually.
I mean, it's not a bad song. It's just cover, weird for the movie, I think. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the needle drops in this are just like, I like the moments that they chose to put the music, but the music didn't fit. It sounded the music didn't fit the scene. But if there was a good song there, I was like, this is a good place for a song. But I don't know why they picked this song.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, to some extent, like, I think something Zack Snyder does well is he gets cool shots.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, he's kind of like a bro-y Nolan. So I was like, just go all the way. Like, you know, I want to hear, like, some electric guitars right now. I want to hear, like, some, like, riffing bass and
like,
and
the Aquaman scene looks so cool, but the song just didn't really work for me. Also, he litters, which, like, isn't Aquaman supposed to be, like, the protector of the sea, not the litterer of the sea? Yeah. Come on,
shame
man.
On you. Shame on you, Aquaman. What are we doing?
Not cool. Yeah,
not cool. I was also thinking about how before the movie came out, I said as a joke, I can't wait until there's a slow motion fight scene to Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah while they all throw down. And I was like, well, it more or less happens for real.
Yeah, so. right. It's in the credits too, I'm pretty sure. It's also very infamous scene in Watchmen.
Where they stopped the movie for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love needle drops, and I feel like they're not used enough. And so, like, you know, I love a good needle drop. You tried. It just, the music choices just didn't really work. Like, in an action scene, they were, like, slow, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, Snyder, this above all, to thine own self be true.
Yeah, what do you think about, speaking of the needle drops, the introduction we got to the Flash? Because the original introduction in 2017 was him drawing with Sharpie on someone's face. So I think now we get it's a little bit better.
When he showed up, I was definitely rolling my eyes a little bit because I had just watched the 2017 Justice League.
Yeah.
So I was ready to be annoyed, but like him showing up just being like, oh, I'm late. And I was like, you're the Flash. Okay. So I thought it was kind of a cool scene. The only thing is like we needed a slow motion shot of a sesame seed falling off a burger bun.
It was so long too. It was like 2 minutes.
And I'm
long.
Sorry, the hot dogs flying in the air, like it just looked silly.
Well, and the fact that he took a hot dog was really weird. I think there's still definitely remnants here of like obviously DC. This is like when they were like, we need some humor here, and then they kind of threw it in. And I just don't think Zack Snyder knows how to be naturally funny in a movie.
Yeah, it felt a little, and I'm sure this wasn't on purpose, but it felt a little bit like a Quicksilver in Days of Future Past, where he runs to the Jim Croce song and there's like food everywhere. I was like, it's like a little too similar, where I could, if he said it wasn't intentional, I would buy it. However, it does feel a little, you know.
One thing that's been really controversial online has been the 4:3 ratio.
Oh my gosh.
So what are your thoughts on the 4:3 ratio for this movie?
So I had to do this movie in 2 days. I started I started on my laptop. And on my laptop I was just like, okay, like not bad. But then the second half I watched on my TV and I was just like, oh, I want to see it. Like I want to see the movie. And you know, I get it. I like, you know, respecting the artist's vision, but I want to see the fun action sequences.
Yeah, I want to see them wide on the screen. You know, I don't have like this 50 something inch TV to just like be like, all right, here we go. And I mean, I like aspect ratios. I'm a huge that's like the first thing I'm like, okay, cool. Why'd they shoot it in this aspect ratio?
Well, my favorite movie, which you've, you know, reviewed as the director really thought he was doing something, is shot in 4:3.
Yeah.
But that's also a movie where like nothing happens.
It works in that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Grand Budapest Hotel, it's more like, you know, and mid-90s. It works in those kind of movies.
He mentioned First Cow in the New York Times article as a potential double feature for the Zack Snyder's Justice League. So
we don't need any more runtime, Zach.
First of all, aspect ratio does not equal double feature.
Grand Budapest Hotel and Zack Snyder's Justice League.
That might actually work better than First Cow. But
Yeah.
Thing is, like, I get why they did it, because for IMAX screens,
yeah,
they say, I mean, you, the whole marketing is like, you see more of the movie, which sounds like marketing just like BS, like, oh yeah, see more. But that's literally how it is, because the screen is taller.
Right.
And when you watch it just not in IMAX, it's going to be 2.33, because so you're going to get some of the top cut off, and that's how they usually release it on DVD or Blu-ray. But for this, like, I mean, obviously, I think if we were not in a pandemic, he would have released this first only in IMAX, because again, it's all about his vision. And so the only way to get an IMAX picture on a TV is 4x3, because that's the only way you can fit it on the screen. So I get why they did it. The more it went on, I was like, okay, I getting used to it, you know, but it just does feel weird in some of those bigger action scenes where you want the wider point of view. Yeah.
It's interesting when you talk about IMAX. My brain doesn't go to seeing any of the fight scenes in IMAX. I was like, oh gosh, I'd have to like watch them sitting around and talking,
right?
In IMAX, like, no, thank you.
You have the one scene that had me rolling where they're all around the table and the camera pans and they're talking about like the matches and the fire, and like they each get like a sentence of the line. And it's like, no one talks like this.
They're no.
Like, Batman, you say your part. Like, a matchbox burns down a house. Move to Wonder Woman. But the house can be rebuilt with a match. Move to... It's like, what in the world is this? It's just not natural at all.
No. The screenwriter has an Oscar, by the way. So,
Didn't the screenwriter also write Rise of Skywalker? I feel like
he did script doctoring, but I've also heard Rise of Skywalker didn't have a script. So
yeah, that's true. They were actually just improvising the whole time. They had J.J. Abrams in their ears. He had a microphone. They're like, he was like, "Kiss Rey, kiss him, kiss her now."
Then, Chris, does that sound good? No, forget about him.
All right, die, Kylo.
I like that he's not calling them by like their real names. He's calling them by the character names.
You gotta keep a character. Oh my goodness.
How did we get on this rant?
Trying to think of anything. I have some notes here. Steppenwolf in this movie is definitely better, but still not great. Like, because the first movie, he literally has zero background. You don't understand. Like, he has no motivation. I was rewatching it, and I was like, why is he doing this? Because he wants to just, like, it's the classic, like okay, he wants to take over the world, but why? In this one, at least he has Darkseid, and then he has, like, the motivation, and he has a little bit of humanity to him. And the character design is better. Like, the first one, he looks so ugly. At least he has, like, the nice armor now.
And I will say, I hated in the first one how, you know, it was the Justice League can't handle him, but don't worry, Superman's going to show up and he's going to punch him really good.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I liked in this one that even after Superman showed up, there was still, you know, like, we need the whole team. Like,
yeah, because I got to get the boxes. Over. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate when Superman's used as, like, the...
The deus ex machina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, okay, Superman's here. I guess we won. Because that's exactly how it goes in the first one. You're like, oh, Superman's here. We win. And there's no more stakes after that. Not that there was really in the first place, but...
Well, yeah, and I remember I heard, I forget who it was from, but someone said, like, the thing about, like, the Avengers versus the Justice League is that the Avengers are essentially, like, a paramilitary organization where, like, the Justice League are, like, that's literally, like, the world's greatest superheroes. Like, if any of them are showing up to, like, save you, you're gonna be like, oh, like... I guess we're okay. There's Batman and Superman and the Flash. So it is, I think it's kind of hard to, you know, if you're going to do a singular villain for them, which as much as I don't like Jesse Eisenberg, and including in this movie too, like his little scene, I didn't think he was great.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, well, that might be the way to do it. Like in Justice League versus Justice League, that might be the best way to like get a fair fight going where we're going to really care.
Yeah, because they're so overpowered. I mean, what's weird is that Batman just doesn't work for me in this environment though. Like,
interesting.
It's, I don't know. It's like, I'd much rather him, because he is the only one that like, that is human, you know? So he can die and there are stakes. But they kind of just turn him into a superhuman in this one with, like, they give him, like, the most OP suit. And they even kind of, I was kind of hoping this was not in this version, but it is. It's an original cut where they have the line where they're like, what's your superpower? And he's like, oh, I'm rich. Like, that's so, that's so, to use a line from Zack Snyder's Justice League, an oversimplification.
It was funny when I was watching this with the other guys, Mitch and Brandon, and the minute that he's driving off in the car and it shows the interior, Mitch let out a groan and Brandon just goes, nope, love it.
Well, and love it. That's the place where the product placement is so bad, because it shows the logo on the screen, the handle. Oh yeah. But that line just really annoyed me, because it's like that's kind of was the biggest thing with Man of Steel, where they don't really understand Superman's character.
No.
And that shows they don't really understand Batman's character either, because he's so much more. That's kind of like the joke is that he's rich, but that's not really what he thinks. That annoys me. Anyway. One thing that I want to bring up before we end this conversation is how much this movie shows that editing and technical aspects can completely change the tone, because you have that opening Wonder Woman scene with the robbery, which in the first movie is just not great.
All goofy.
In this movie, I thought it was not bad.
It was cool.
It has a cooler tone. The music definitely brought up the score brought up the tempo of the entire scene, and I don't know, it just felt a lot cooler in this one.
I gotta tell you, the first time I heard her theme, I hated it so much. But man, has it grown on me.
It's really cool now. I love it.
Yeah, now I'm like,
I hear the theme and I'm like, yes, let's go.
Yep.
It's the best theme in the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because again, first time in Batman v Superman, I was just like, really? It's like the most 14-year-old boy thing. She shows up in guitars play, but.
It's cool now. Yeah. It's kind of just like cemented into our brains now. Still on the technical aspects too. I think this also shows that when you shoot a movie, that the colors you pick have to correspond with the color palette you're going for. So in the 2017 one, it's so oversaturated because the colors aren't supposed to work with this with this bright tone. And so it looks a lot better now, just because I think this is how it was supposed to look.
Yeah, and when you think about even how goofy the poster looked for Justice League, when it came out, it looks like a comedy. And yeah, that's all, the color grading doesn't match the color palette, and then your superheroes look dumb. I know that you've been very critical of how a lot of the Marvel films look, in that you think they look kind of ugly, and I agree. Do you think that this looked better?
Parts of it, I think, the part in the after Superman gets reawakened looks terrible. There are parts I don't like. The football scene again, I think, looks amazing. I love that, and I love the ending fight scene. I think looks really good too. I love the use of the blacks. I think when it's that, it's great. I think it is a little inconsistent though. There's definitely not I think Batman versus Superman and even Man of Steel have a really nice, at least set colored palette, but this one it feels a lot more disjointed because there's just so much they have to do. It's like, this obviously all can't look the same, but because it doesn't, it's like, this doesn't really feel like it fits together very well. But Willem Dafoe's in this one, so
oh my gosh, I love Willem Dafoe. Why would you take him out of the movie, Joss?
That literally was. I think I tweeted this on Twitter, but we can add that to the list of egregiences by Joss Whedon, that he cut Willem Dafoe. How dare he?
Yeah.
How do you cut Willem Dafoe?
The king, our king. Yeah. Here's something I've been thinking about, and I know that you said on the Christmas Shoes episode of Godfellas, you don't rewatch movies that often. Do you think that you're ever gonna rewatch Zack Snyder's Justice League?
I'm gonna say no, but the only way I can see myself rewatching it, recently, I mean. Before this has even come out, Zack Snyder has said his vision for this movie is black and white. And I guess, it makes sense that releasing this in black and white and having it being in 4:3 would have just been, too much to do. I understand. You got to do something, guys. And they are going to release the black and white version on HBO Max. I would not rewatch this on my TV in black and white. But if after the pandemic, they release it in IMAX in black and white, I would watch it there. Because it's like, it's a completely different experience in that case. Sure. But just at home, you know, it's long. There's not really... I'm glad they didn't decide to make it episodic, because I think that would have just, like, I don't know. It just would have messed with the pacing even more. But, yeah, I don't think I would ever return to it just because of the length, mostly. Like, maybe if it was 2.5, 3 hours.
I felt like a 3-hour cohesive version of this movie exists.
Yeah, I think three yeah. hours is a great marker. I think they could have definitely, but, you know, I mean, I think if nothing else, it's cool that this exists. Because this is really just an experience. Like, I've never had this experience with watching a movie, because you're looking, it's not like another director's cut, because you're like trying to compare it in your head, like, okay, so this is where the other thing was in this other movie. Are they going to keep that, or was that not in it? So it was a really interesting experience to watch it the first time, just because
yeah,
a lot of different things to look for. And I'm always for artists being able to do what they want, you know? I believe in studio notes, but I don't believe in 2017 Justice League studio notes. So,
yeah, my thing, just looking at my notes here, that I have thoughts on, though, is I teach on Saturday a virtual class about, like, filmmaking, and, you know, one of the things that we say is that, you know, you do have to crawl before you can walk, so there's rules to be followed and whatever, but I wonder, like, are young filmmakers learning from, like, this? And even thinking back to, like, when The Irishman came out, and you're like, you have these movies that are so long that, like, couldn't be taken down. Like, are young filmmakers learning, like, oh, well, I don't have to play by anybody's rules? Because, you know, there are, like, not every movie can be, you know, 4 hours long.
And you're not Martin Scorsese, guys. Sorry to say.
Exactly. So that's kind of like something that I worry about, is the thing of like, oh, my movie's not going to get made because, you know, you don't get it or whatever. Like, that's not always the case. Like, I think that there does need to be a healthy system of checks and balances. But, you know, it is, I do support the artists, and I'm happy that Snyder got to make the movie that he wanted to make.
Yeah. I do think that this definite, like, if I had seen this, I would have been like, I definitely would have said it. I wouldn't have said it was unwatchable, because I don't think it's unwatchable. Right. But I would have had notes, you know. There would have been a couple things.
Yeah.
Kind of like, all right, good. Yeah. But let's try to...
A lot of slow motion in this, Zach.
You think we could maybe cut out the sesame seed in slow motion? You think that's really necessary? Maybe this isn't the best soundtrack choice. But, yeah, I mean, in this case, it's like... I'm fine with it, you know, like, especially considering the circumstances in which he left. I'm glad he kind of got to kind of like close that chapter on his life and just kind of have maybe hopefully some closure there. And he's got a new movie coming out this year for Netflix, which, like, cool.
Does he?
Yeah, he's I think it's more horror based. I don't remember what it's called, but maybe returning to his roots. Who knows?
Man of Steel 2. It's called. It's a horror movie.
The true horror movie that, oh gosh, that'd be awful. So future of the DCEU is interesting, though, because as of now, I mean, obviously Zack Snyder says there's no plans for him to make a new Justice League movie, and that DC still counts the 2017 release as the canon entry. But despite this, there's Patty Jenkins, director of the Wonder Woman movies, on record saying that all DC directors ignore the canonicity, I guess that's the word, of Whedon's version, and side with the Snyder Cut in their storytelling. And Jason Momoa has said that Aquaman and its sequels will continue with the Snyder Cut story. So it's like, you have what DC says, where it's not canon, but also, like, the directors are obviously more on the Snyder side, so it's weird. It's just interesting.
Well, the plot of both movies, like, thinking about it, like, when I broke it down, like, they are the same...
Yeah,
it's the same plot, you know, so there's
just a couple of changes.
Aside from more characterization, so I think they're kind of running with oh, the characterization's already done? Beautiful. You know, beautiful. Right. Or, like, Darkseid exists in this world? Beautiful. So I don't know that, like, it's really changed anything that much as far as the fabric of the DCEU goes, but that's just me.
No, that's true. I think the story is, like, the basic beats are there. The biggest difference is probably with the villain, with Darkseid kind of being behind Steppenwolf, because that's not anything in about that in 2017. So I guess if they decide to bring back Darkseid, that would be huge. With, like, the ending, where we haven't really talked about this, but with, like, I really don't understand what was going on, but Batman and Joker and... I mean, Amber Heard's not in the DCU anymore, so I guess... I don't know why she's there, but...
We want Batman to swear and threaten the Joker in my movie.
Yeah, I mean, and the evil Superman, so I guess if they kind of carry that on. Also with the pregnancy test with Lois Lane, are they not going to talk about that at all? What in the world?
I pointed that out. I was like, why is that here? What are they trying to say? And then I'm like, when did they have time?
How long was Superman gone? What is the timeline? Has it been a couple months? You should be more pregnant if it has been like 6 months. I don't understand.
Right. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? So a lot of questions. But we do have upcoming movies. We got Suicide Squad again this year.
Can't wait.
Exciting. There's still the Flash movie planned. Aquaman 2, Shazam 2, and then a movie called Black Adam, which I literally know nothing about, and I don't know what
that
is.
He's a Shazam villain. To be played by The Rock, apparently.
The Rock? Wow. Yeah. Get The Rock in the superhero universes.
We'll see.
He already played Maui. He's in the superhero universes.
He's good.
That would be great. Let's get Maui in the Snyder cut. The Maui cut.
I did love when Endgame came out and like The Rock posted on his Instagram. He was like, Kevin Feige, like, congratulations, but like, what's up, man? Like, I've been calling you for years. Why won't you return my call?
I mean, he seems like a perfect fit for a superhero movie, like, charismatic. I mean, most of his movies are like superhero movies, but he's just not a superhero. You know, they're like, he's The Rock. Rock is a superhero.
He's like a happy Batman.
I am excited for future DC movies. You know, I'll watch Suicide Squad. I like how they're kind of just taking the approach now where it's like they're not really caring about the cinematic universe. It's kind of just like each director can do their own thing, which isn't cool because it's different than MCU. It's not like they're trying to copy Marvel anymore, which is good.
I'll tell you, when I saw the cast for The Batman and I was like, Matt Reeves, and Paul Dano is in this movie?
They got all the greats, all the indie greats.
Yeah. I'm so excited. And wasn't there like something where like, I don't know how real this is, where like Lakeith Stanfield wants the Safdies to do like a Joker movie starring him or something like that?
Sounds good to me. I'll take
it. Yeah, sure.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was funny. When we were watching Good Time, my friend was like, you know, Matt Reeves is great. You know who I'd rather see do Batman? I was like, yeah, shaky cam with Safdie and content close-ups.
That'd be classic. That'd be great.
That'd be really be something.
For now, though, we've got the Snyder Cut. It's been done. No, there's nothing for the fanboys to complain about anymore. There's nothing. They're not. Yeah. They'll be quiet forever.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, Marvel is kind of like, I feel like they're going to be relegated to Disney Plus for a while. So, you know, like, here's the thing, like, DC, like, now is the time to really go for it, you know? Like, yeah, you don't have as much competition realistically, so just make some awesome movies that are super fun to watch, like, on the biggest screen possible, and I think I'll be excited to see what they do. Yeah,
especially after Endgame, I think like Marvel has kind of like take it down a notch now because they've got to kind of rebuild. So I think DC has an opportunity to really step in as the cinematic with the cinematic films, like the big,
definitely
bombastic stuff, which is cool. I will be interested to see what they do with that. We'll get Suicide Squad not for too long from now, also on HBO Max. So be watching that.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Zach, for talking about not just the Snyder Cut, but also 2017 Justice League.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. It's I love this show, and it's always an honor when I get to hang out with you guys. And it's just you today, but you know, hey, I'm down.
Yeah, yeah, you know, anything for Zack Snyder movies.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug your podcast again and also any social media accounts?
Yeah, sure. Just follow us at The Real Boys on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the normal places, I guess. That's The Real Boys, like a film reel, R-E-E-L, boys. And if you want to follow me on Letterboxd, I'm Zach Smith Michaels on there. So, you know, hey.
Amazing. We'll link those in the show notes, and you can click on the links if you want to click on the links.
And support this show, y'all. Give them a great rating and review.
Yeah, give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on our social medias. Just search Secondhand Film Critics, and you'll find us. And also, if you do have any thoughts on the Snyder Cut, if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, just email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com, and we would be happy to read your thoughts. Our next episode, which, again, we release episodes every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Our next episode is another edition of Cinema Swap, where me and Kayla each take a movie, and we make the other person watch it, and then we talk about them. Our last one was Cool Hand Luke and Phantom Thread. This one will be The Breakfast Club and Game Night. So, interesting pairings here going on.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I will be watching Game Night and Kayla will be watching The Breakfast Club.
Have you seen it before?
No, that's the point. Yeah, we can't have seen it. So,
oh, I can't wait.
So, we get to see our unadulterated first impressions. So,
nice.
Exciting times. Until next time, I'm Noah.
I'm Zach.
And we're your
secondhand
film critics.